And now, once again, it's time for an everyday story of country folk. The BBC present Life with the Moons, with Keith Moon, played by himself, a revolutionary violinist, played by Fidel Castro, and a well-known groupie taking the part of, well, just about anybody. Hello, sweetheart, I'm home. Hang on, I'll just take me coat off. Taken away off my mind.
WMFO Medford 91.5 FM. It is The Big Picture. Derek, Gary, and Shea Spillane with you until 9 o'clock tonight.
Hey, kids.
855-915-9636 is the telephone number. Yes, you can call in this week because Shea is here.
Yeah.
And I can actually press all the buttons and, and have you distract people while I screw up on the board.
Yeah, sorry if you guys missed me last week. Shea needed a little TLC.
I missed you last week. I always miss you.
I missed you, too.
You know, like having you around.
It was weird to not, like, argue with you. It's become kind of an addiction of mine. Once a week, I have to have some serious argument with Derek where we hug after.
You can always call me and just be like, hey, you know, you're bald and stupid and Trump is a poopy head and the fight's on.
Wait, can I text you? Can we text fight?
It's not as much fun.
It's really not as much fun. I almost, to be honest with you, I did almost call you last Wednesday. Just like, wouldn't it be funny if when I'm ditching out on the radio show, it's like, listeners, I know how much you love the sound of my voice. So,
yeah.
I mean, I almost gave you that treat. But no, I had a couple health concerns last week. But yeah. I'm sorry that I missed you guys.
Well, we're glad that you're better and we're glad that you're with us. And
as am I.
You know, it's been a slow news week. I was sitting around last night and I was like, what am I even going to talk about?
Well, there's stuff happening around here, though, which is promising. I don't know if promising is the proper word. That's what's strange is because I was sick, I wasn't really paying attention to the news as much as, you know, like typically I read the news every single morning.
Yeah.
This past week, I just turned right to the game page and did Sudoku to distract my mind.
I went offline. I went offline for the whole weekend because it was so hot. And it's...
Oh, my goodness. This weekend was ridiculous.
I wasn't gonna sit around and... Because, like, there is air conditioning in my house, but my office is up on the second floor in one of the bedrooms. And the only air conditioning on the second floor of the house is in my bedroom. So... That's right. Molly sleeps without air conditioning. No. So it's when it's hot and there's no air conditioning, it is brutal in that room. And I'm like, I'm damned if I'm going to sit around and watch news, you know, or read news up here. Forget it. And I open up the news on Monday morning and I'm like, nothing happened over the weekend. Like, oh, Mueller's going to testify. Ooh, exciting.
Honestly, even the Braintree police had, let me see if I can find it. They had a disclaimer on Facebook.
Yeah, what do they say? Watch Stranger Things instead of coming out and committing crimes, basically?
Essentially. Hang on, I want to quote it properly. I'm going to find it. That was the thing is, like, I mean, I got out of, I don't want to share too much of my personal life with the audience, but suffice it to say, I was in the hospital. But I got out on Friday, and I looked at, that was the first time I'd, like, really in earnest read the news, and I was just like, nothing is happening. And then here it is. So the Braintree Police Department tweeted this. Folks, due to the extreme heat, we are asking anyone thinking of doing criminal activity to hold off until Monday.
Yeah.
It is straight up hot as soccer balls out there. conducting criminal activity in this extreme heat is next level henchman status, but also very dangerous. Stay home, blast the AC, binge Stranger Things Season 3, play with the Face app, practice karate in your basement. We will all meet again on Monday when it's cooler. Sincerely, the Popo.
Nice.
P.S. Please no spoiler alerts. We're just finishing season 2. Honestly, like...
That's great.
I love this about... I mean, don't get me wrong. The you always have to find a silver lining to things.
Yeah. Well, here's what I'm going to say. If you should have looked at the weather forecast, because I'm assuming the hospital was air conditioned.
Oh, yes, it was.
Yeah, you should have said...
To the point where I was like, can I have like 9... My mom brought me an extra blanket, because I was like, can I have 9 more blankets? This is a glorified cheat.
You should have said to them, I need a couple more days. Can I stay until Monday? Because then you would have missed it. Because as it was, you came out just when it got really, really bad, and then had to deal with 3 days of just misery.
Yeah, well, that's what there was. Like, I did when I was feeling better, I did get to go outside just because I was like, real oxygen. But as I went outside for like 5 minutes, and I was just like, I'll go back into the air conditioning.
I was at a party on Winter Hill Saturday. This party starts at 3. I didn't show up until 6:30.
Was this Winter Hill Kicks?
Yeah.
I knew I was missing that.
About half as many people as you'd normally see at Winter Hill Kicks. Nobody's drinking because it's so freaking hot.
I was going to say, that's what I remember. I'm not going to name his name. Let's say it rhymes with Brat Tona. One year it was really, really hot, and he had been drinking Bloody Marys all morning and then drinking Gatorade mixed with vodka. And he, like, didn't even drink that much. Yep. It was just that the heat, like, dehydrated. He didn't drink any water, so the heat dehydrating him. It was like the drunkest I've ever seen anyone without them just falling over, yeah. Which I think he eventually fell over.
He wound up passing out right in front of the garage at one point. He was in a chair. He wasn't, like, laying on the ground, but he, like, passed out for a little while. That happened to me opening day for the Patriots a few years back.
Yeah, like, that's the thing is, like, I mean, it's just like, it's like if you get blood drawn.
Yeah.
And you drink, like, one glass of wine, it feels like three. But, yeah, I mean, the weather has been so weird. Well, that's what I have,
I know, because yesterday was, like, put on a sweater.
Yeah. Like, it's been so confusing because I wake up every morning and I'm like, normally I just look at the weather report and I'm like, okay, like, this is what I should wear. But these past couple of days, it's been like, okay, well, I should wear a dress and I should wear leggings that I can take off under it. And I should bring a coat. And then maybe I'll ditch the coat and the leggings, or maybe I'll be wearing all of them and it could change in an hour.
Yeah.
Like, there's no rhyme or reason to it whatsoever.
I actually had the heat on in my car yesterday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I had the heat.
It's mid-July. What am I doing?
I had the heat. What do you call it? What's that thing with the little, the defroster.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting in there like, I was blasting the AC in my face 2 days ago. Yeah. So we do have some local news, like I said.
Thank God we got something.
I know, right? This is according to NBC Boston. And I actually watched this on the news earlier and was so mad. I was like, I'm looking this up. Police are looking to identify a man who last week exposed himself to a woman who was jogging in Cambridge and then escaped when the woman tried to detain him. The woman told Mass State Police that she was jogging on Memorial Drive near Vassar Street. It's near Harvard Square. About 7:30 a.m. on July 18th, when the man exposed himself as she jogged by him. Surveillance video obtained from the area showed the woman stop, turn around, and pursue the man and attempt to physically detain him, which, I mean, badass. She said, quote, I told him I was going to get him. I'm going to get you, darling, said the woman, who gave her name as Aya, while she was speaking to the media. And she said, it was not his lucky day because I decided to chase him down. And Aya, this woman, is 6'1 and served in the Israeli military.
Oh, dear.
Boy, did he mess with the wrong chick.
Yes.
And she said she held the man for a few minutes and yelled for help, but nobody came to her aid. And then he eventually ended up breaking away and then fled down Amesbury Street. She had no regrets about chasing after him, she said. You know, like, she mentioned that she had a daughter, and she was like, if that was my daughter next to him, like, oh my God. But she said, you know, from how, where she comes from Israel and was in the Israeli army.
Yeah.
She's like, how I grew up, like, we don't walk by, we don't ignore stuff like that happening. Yeah. But so please, you guys can, all look on the internet. It's pretty much any Boston news source that you go to. Like I said, they have it on NBC Boston, which is where I got this story. But they do have a surveillance image that they enhanced.
It's not just a big picture of a penis, is it?
No,
okay.
Fortunately, it is not just a big picture of a penis.
I want to make sure of that before we send people to go look at it online.
That would be a neat trick on NBC Boston. I'd say they were stepping up their game or stepping it down, depending on how you're looking at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so everybody who, especially in that area, I mean, I used to work right near there. Heza, you make the best pizza in Boston. Other than Peenies, which I just had, but they're two different styles of pizza, so count it. State police, they do want you to know that their official stance is for victims to not chase anyone, but they don't fault her for doing so.
If you happen to be a former member of the armed forces.
Yeah. And the Israeli army, I don't know if you guys know, every citizen of Israel is required to serve in the army for, I think it's 2 years.
Unless your name is Natalie Portman.
Unless your name is Natalie Portman and you're like, oh my God, I'm busy shooting V for Vendetta.
Yeah.
But they said they don't fault her for doing that. And obviously, you know, like, I mean, I was in a situation a couple weeks ago where I was at a liquor store on the way here, actually. It was like one of those liquor/convenience stores, and I was just grabbing speaking of which, I have sparkling water, but I was grabbing a sparkling, I mean, we don't drink beverages in the studio.
Yeah, there's
that's
no beverages
the rules.
In the studio.
but there
said,
was this
as he
really
looked at the security camera.
There was this really drunk guy who just randomly started with somebody else that was in the store, and he almost knocked over the wine display, so I just like grabbed him by his shirt and pulled him backwards. Now everybody that I told this story was like, why would you do that? And I said, because I'm trained in self-defense and I'm 6 feet tall and 200 pounds. So like I wouldn't recommend that. And also the girl behind the counter was 5'2 and like 22.
You're going to win against the average drunk.
Oh, yes, absolutely. Maybe. Especially because I was dead sober. So it's like, even at like pulling him back by the shirt made him fall down.
Yeah.
Like,
you got to watch out for the Irish drunk that gains the strength of 10 men after he's had a few. But the average drunk, Shay, you're going to be more than a match for them.
Yeah. I was going to say, I can hold my own amongst your average drunk man. But they do say if anyone has any information about this guy, because, you know, a lot of our listeners live in that area.
Yeah.
You can call the state police at on their non-emergency line, which is 617. It's actually their tip line, 617-727-6780. That's 617-727-6780.
I haven't seen the image. I'm going to take a wild guess. This guy's wearing track pants.
No, actually, he was wearing black and gray running clothing and black running shoes. He was wearing shorts.
Oh.
Because, mind you, this was last week. So, I believe. Let me look at the image again.
Okay. It was hot out.
That's what I'm saying. It was super hot. Like, honestly, everybody that I've seen running in the past week, I'm like, you masochist. Like, but, I mean, the reason that I wanted to start off with the story and bring it up in general is just, I mean, how, in light of everything that's going on, like everything that's gone on, and especially the last, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 years, does any dude legitimize pulling stuff like that?
Well, you got to keep in mind, for that dude, that's a compulsion. That's how he gets off. You know, that's his thing. This is like, he's not trying to rape anybody. He's not even trying to get a legitimate response other than running away out of women. It's the thrill of exposing himself to women that drives him sexually.
Ugh.
That's all he's got.
Well, I always think about my grandmother, my Grandma Kay, may she rest in peace, told me about when she was in her 20s and she was on a train, and she got on a train and sat down. It was just the only empty seat, sat down next to this man who was reading the newspaper and had like the newspaper like spread open across him. And he kept looking at her and grinning, and she was like, what the heck is going on? And then he lifted the newspaper to show that he was exposing himself. And she said to this day, it's like, she's like, even like marrying your grandfather, she's like, I have PTSD from that. I was like, penises. But
no one wants
it's
to look
a matter
at
of yeah they're not an attractive organ. No offense, guys, but I mean, come on, call a spade a spade.
Mine's quite cute, thank you.
But Molly and I will talk about that behind your back later. But it's a matter of, I mean, it's on, at least for me, it's on par with being, like, looking at kiddie porn. Or, like, it's like, okay, so this is what you need to get off. Well, some people need to choke someone to get off. That doesn't mean it's okay.
Yeah.
That means that you should either be in very serious, hardcore therapy or get locked up.
No.
Like, those are the two possibilities.
It means
there.
You should either be in hardcore therapy or be a multimillionaire, in which case you'll be allowed to get away with it.
As long as you pay a bunch of settlements to all those women in Hollywood.
Right. You forget. You missed the correct option, too, because this is the United States, and that's how we do it.
Mm.
In other local news, also from CBS Boston, Massachusetts lawmakers are weighing a ban on the practice of declawing cats.
What?
Supporters of the measure say declawing is cruel and painful. They say cats rely on their paws and claws to groom themselves and to help protect and defend their bodies. The practice involves amputating a cat's toes to the first knuckle. Most people don't know this.
Oh, that is true.
A bill that would prohibit declawing is scheduled for a public hearing at the State House on Monday. I believe that is this coming Monday. Because this ran on July 21st. So I don't know if they were talking about that day or the coming Monday, but before the Committee on Consumer Protection and Professional Licensure. We don't have a committee on cats, so consumer. I guess the cat is the consumer in this case. Lawmakers in New York last month voted to approve a bill banning the declawing of cats. Mm-hmm. The bill was sent to Democratic Governor Andrew Cuomo. Declawing a cat is already illegal in much of Europe and in several Canadian provinces, as well as Los Angeles, San Francisco, and Denver. And following up on that story, this broke yesterday afternoon. New York became the first U.S. state to ban the declawing of cats on Monday after Governor Andrew Cuomo signed the legislation into law. So you now cannot legally declaw a cat in the state of New York. And it looks like Massachusetts is moving to do this next. I don't have a problem with this.
Honestly, it's akin to when people clip Doberman's tails and ears. Or pit bulls' tails and ears and
that's kind
as well.
Of, yeah, that's kind of... Bobbing tails has fallen out of fashion as well.
It's... Well, that's... I mean, I remember... I remember I used to date one of the Blue Men from Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
I remember he gave my...
You still have a little blue behind your ear.
Oh, I knew I missed a spot.
Just so you know.
But I remember he gave me two tickets to go see him because I told him it was weird. I was dating a member of Blue Man Group and never saw it. And he was very offended by that.
What do you mean you've never seen Blue Man? I was just like, everyone's seen Blue Man.
I was performing when I was like, it has something to do with drums and catching marshmallows in your mouth, right? Maybe paint. There's paint. But he gave my friend and I tickets to go, and then we went to the Playwright afterwards, which is a bar around the corner from the Charles Playhouse. And she was talking about how she was getting her cat declawed, and he, like, flipped out. He was so angry about it. And it is, I mean, it's... I understand people's, especially if it's a house cat, an indoor cat, I understand people's inclination, because I can't tell you... God, I keep bringing up dead living things. Sorry, guys. But I think you guys know I put my cat down 3 months ago. Cam Jam is hanging out in heaven right now. But she used to wake me up by kneading my boobs.
Yeah.
Like, she would just claw my boobs. And I don't have boobs, but let's just say it's not the most pleasant way to wake up. Like, I still, even on, like, my forearms, I have, you can see, you guys can't see, but Derek can, I have scars from scratch marks from me not paying attention to her and her
scratching. If you're going to own a cat, it goes with
but
the territory.
Exactly. I mean,
and they're going to wreck all your furniture.
I mean, it's just like having a puppy and your slippers are going to get ruined.
Yeah.
It's just going to happen. But that's the thing. It's taking away, I mean, you're already domesticating an animal that, I mean, all animals, regardless of how far back it was, were originally in the wild.
Cats actively don't want to be domesticated. So there's, you know, there's that part.
There's a reason they are always trying to get out of your house, guys.
But it's like, well, mine's perfectly, I've got a Burmese, and Burmese are perfectly happy to be, they love being around people. They're very, very sociable cats. They're great. But, you know, if you're going to declaw a cat, first of all, take a look at your hand. Now imagine your fingernail and down to the first knuckle gone. On all of your fingers, because that's what you're doing to the cat.
I was going to say, it's honestly, it's even a matter of their balance and their gait.
So let me ask you a question.
I love, you guys can't see, but right now I'm like illustrating with my hands what the cat does.
Would you get a dog and have all the dog's teeth removed so that it couldn't bite you? No one would do that.
Yeah.
They'd be like, that's cruelty. Well, you know what? Declawing a cat is cruelty.
Yeah, well, like, and I mean, think about, there's a reason that, what do you call it? Oh, my mom's so cute. Hi, Mom. My mom just listened to us talking about Cammy, and she said, but I loved her.
Hmm.
But that's the thing. It's like, there's a reason that, she also wrecked my Crate and Barrel furniture. That was the first text that my mother sent.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, I got a nice ottoman that I got from Jordan's Furniture. The cat is completely shredded, like the bottom of the ottoman.
Oh yeah, it's always and Mo said she would never declaw. Well, yeah, exactly. Well, because if you think about it, there's a reason that you have to get them scratching posts, that you have to get them those little like cardboard things, because
they don't care. They're still going for the furniture.
No, what I'm saying, like, think about for yourself, like, especially I've struggled with anger issues over the course of my life, and it's very helpful for me to be able to punch a pillow to let out aggression. Scratching posts and scratching anything is a cat's punching a pillow.
Yeah.
It's there. And think about how incapacitated you would feel if you weren't, if somebody took away your ability to punch, or took away, like you said, the dog example is perfect.
Have you ever tried punching a cat? It's very rewarding.
Kendall. You've said some horrible things over the course of our decade-long friendship, Derek Gary, but I think that may be the worst.
Don't punch cats. Yes.
Don't punch cats. It will hurt a lot.
Yeah.
I definitely have thrown a cat when it scratched me in the face, though. Like, not thrown, like, a like pitched, yeah. but, like, just picked up and been like, get the hell out of
yeah,
here.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, your reaction to that is to get rid of the cat as quickly yeah. as you can.
Get away from me.
Every shirt I own has holes in it. There you can see there's one, like, there's one right here that I can feel. Every shirt I own has...
I can see it!
Yeah. Every shirt I own has holes in it right near the right shoulder because the cat comes over when I'm sitting on the couch and lies in next to me and then puts his paws up on my shirt and then the claws come out and go straight into the shirt. And I'm like, cat, stop doing this.
I bet you have a matching, like, little scar right under there, too.
No, I've got scar tissue built up on my left shoulder. Because when I come home, the cat will demand that I pick him up, and then he'll dig his claws into my back.
So that he can hold on.
Yeah. And I'm like, cat, you don't... In the wintertime, I don't care, because if I'm wearing, like, flannel shirts and layers, I don't even notice it.
Yeah, because it's just, like, it's the length of the claws.
This time of year, I'm wearing polo shirts and dress shirts, and the claws go right in. I'm like, cat, you don't have to do that. I won't drop you.
Please stop it.
Cat.
Well, it's funny. My cousin Heather and her husband Kellen, they have two cats. But Kellen's her cat is Levi. He weighs like 19 pounds. He's a big boy. But Kellen's cat Jaco weighs probably like 7 pounds, and he's not even. It's not even that he's like too skinny. He's just like one of those long, lean cats.
Yeah.
But he's so. What's the word I'm looking for? Dexterous is the wrong word. He's so agile. If you go to their house, he will jump up on the fridge, and as you're walking around cooking, he'll jump onto your shoulders hang out like a parrot.
Yeah.
But what's crazy, though, is that he wraps himself around you in such a way that he doesn't need to dig his claws in, but if you whip around really quickly, he will just, and like, use the claws to just grab on to anything he can.
It's funny, because I had a cat that I kind of inherited from, so this involves an ex-fiance, her friend, and a cat that was left with us by her friend that I got when we split up. Even though her friend wanted the cat back, I said, no, it's my cat now. And she'd gotten that cat as a kitten and had it declawed. So I never got a declawed cat. I never declawed a cat. This one came to me declawed, and that cat, even without its claws, could get on top of the cabinets in the kitchen, which was a good 6 feet up. And he'd do the same thing. He'd be hanging out up on those cabinets, and I'd be cooking something, and he would jump off of the cabinets and land light as a feather on my shoulder.
Yeah.
And just walk around on my shoulders.
Yeah. It's incredibly impressive, especially given that, like, I mean, Cammy, again, may she rest in peace. Like, I would be taking a bath, and because I wasn't moving, she thought that the water was a solid surface and would try to hop onto it and inevitably jump into the bath.
That's not good. Once they realize they're in water, it's all over.
Oh, my God.
That's when claws and the legs just start going everywhere.
Don't get me wrong. It was the funniest thing I've ever felt terrible about. Just looking at me like, I mean, you did this. Like, the best part was she would, like, put her paw down and, like, test and then decide it was a solid surface.
Yeah. I lost a shower curtain because the cat insisted on, like, hanging out in the bathtub whenever I was in the bathroom. So one night, just for a laugh, I turned the water on. And the cat leapt up in the air, jumped onto the shower curtain with his claws.
Just dragged down.
Slid down and then ran out and hit the water again and then shot through the hole in the shower curtain and ran out of the bathroom.
Oh, I miss having a cat.
Cat did not come into the bathroom again after that.
Mom, get me another cat. We'll name her Cammy, too.
Cats are great.
So moving on, another local story. This is Massachusetts. It's not really local to us, but still quite relevant. Cleanup is continuing on Cape Cod after a powerful storm on Monday, after the National Weather Service determined that two separate tornadoes had touched down, one of which began as a waterspout. Both high-end EF1 tornadoes had a maximum wind speed of 110 miles per hour. One of them began as a waterspout that moved onshore near Kalmus and Barnstable and traveled about 5.5 miles to South Yarmouth. The other touched down near Harwich and lifted about 2.75 miles away in East Harwich, though wind damage was seen even as far as Chatham. No injuries were reported, but thousands still remain without power and are likely to for several days. And the town of Harwich remains in a state of emergency as disaster cleanup crews battle to open roads closed by downed trees and power lines. Hundreds of utility trucks are being used for disaster removal work. And if you look, you can look online. The severe damage was largely limited to around 2 square mile area. But because the severity of the damage in that area has prevented emergency responders from being able to reach all of it because they can't get through that area.
Trees are down all over the place.
They are using construction vehicles to try to move all of the various, the downed trees. If you look online, you can see the top got blown off of a motel.
There's video of the roof getting ripped off of the Cape Sands.
Yeah, I was going to say, this is unprecedented in Cape Cod. And I was in Plymouth that night, and I was at my friend's house, and I was planning on driving home. And then, we had gone to just have dinner in Plymouth Harbor, and got back to his house, and it was like, there's lightning every 0.2 seconds. Maybe, and just as I was like, maybe I should wait to drive home, all of a sudden it started wind, downpour, raindrops the size of my head.
Yeah.
And I was like, all right, yeah, I'm totally waiting to drive home. It was crazy because it's funny, a girl in a class I'm taking also lives in Plymouth. And when we were just talking about our day, she was saying, yeah, I lost power for a minute. And there was a tornado warning right near my house. And I was like, that's funny because my friend also lost power for a minute. But we weren't listening to any emergency radio or stuff. So, boy, am I glad that tornado didn't move.
Yeah.
It's anyone who is still trying to argue that global warming isn't a thing. I mean, come on, guys. Remember 6 years ago when there was a tornado in New York City? Remember how that had never happened before?
Yeah, it happened before.
But not to the degree. The sky was never green over Brooklyn.
Massachusetts gets tornadoes. New York City, it's much less likely that you're going to get a tornado because you don't have the big open flat space that they need.
Yeah.
It's tough for a tornado to form over Midtown Manhattan.
But that's my point.
There's no trailer parks around. They love trailer parks.
They do. Trust me. I remember when I outran one in Nebraska, I was like, all it has to tear through is corn and trailers.
Yeah. what they love is big open spaces.
So the entire state of Nebraska. But no, I mean, you can't deny though. I mean, yeah, okay, it's happened before, but you can't deny that whatever the opposite of fewer and further between is what has been happening the last decade or two. Two tornadoes hitting Cape Cod, and causing actual damage. I've seen tiny funnels before in Massachusetts, but I've never seen something that can rip the roof off of a hotel.
There was a tornado that hit Melrose in 1994. I think somewhere around 93, 94. There have been tornadoes in western Massachusetts for as long as I can remember. They're less common on the east coast of Massachusetts because the ocean air tends to act as a buffer against...
It's just nope, you can't do this.
Yeah, it's harder for those systems to form when you get over the water.
Well, because the thing is, they form best, ironically enough, they form best when there is no other wind, when there's no, if you will, air current to combat the funnel forming.
Yeah.
Because, and that's why they, that's why they, like you said, they breed so well in places like Kansas, Nebraska, Iowa, around those areas, because they're flat. They really don't have any water source that a ocean or lake breeze is coming from. Like, you know, like there's barely tornadoes in Chicago because it has the breeze off Lake Michigan happening. Yeah. But so that is true. But that, again, that's driving home even more my point that the fact that with, I mean, Cape Cod is especially like maybe, I mean, Harwich and Chatham and Yarmouth are still pretty inland for Cape Cod. They're still where, and what was, I was gonna say, what was the other, Barnstable. They're still pretty inland in terms of Cape Cod. Like, it's not like getting down near Wellfleet and Eastham and Provincetown where it's, you know, like you could,
this was like a
professional outfielder would be able to throw a baseball from the bay to the ocean.
This was the thick part of the Cape where these things were going through.
But nonetheless, I mean, the thick part of the Cape is still,
it's a few miles.
You've got breezes coming from both sides still. Yeah. It's alarming. It's
weather.
Yeah, but it's weather again. It's getting like more and more. We're getting desensitized. But if you look,
no one's getting desensitized. These things happen, and everybody's like, climate change, the world's gonna end, and it's like,
I don't think the world's gonna end, but I also think no. But it's, people are becoming desensitized. I mean, I remember when I was in fifth grade, and I was just talking to somebody about this the other night. I remember in 1997, there was a blizzard on April 1st, and everybody flipped out because it was so like, oh my God, there's a blizzard on April 1st. Like, this is crazy. This never happens. And then now, and so that was 1997. So that was 22 years ago. Oh my God, that was 22 years ago. I'm old. But that was 1997, and
you went up in here?
It was, oh, they're going to be mean to me, aren't they? But then it was like, oh my God, there's a blizzard on April 1st.
All right, Shay,
now, just let me finish my point before this person jumps down my throat. I know you're smiling, so I know they're going to be against me. But now it's like, it snows well into like April 19th, and nobody even blinks about it.
So
I love that I can hear, listener, whoever you are, I love that I can hear my voice on your radio in the background.
I just moved away from it.
So
is this who I think it is?
You obviously don't read the Farmer's Almanac.
Yes, I do.
Because, well, obviously you do not on the daily section for interesting events that happen, because tornadoes are not uncommon in these parts or anywhere else, because the Farmer's Almanac clearly indicates severe weather that occurred over different decades.
Clearly you're not listening to me, because I did not deny that tornadoes happen. I said that the severity and the specific location, given the various climates of Massachusetts, is a very complex state for how small it is. Yeah, tornadoes totally happen all the time in every state, but the severity, the
what was the rating of the tornado that hit the Cape? That's not like one of those fives that hit Oklahoma City.
It was barely an EF1.
Durbarbs, but it still took out a 2-square-mile radius.
It was barely an EF1.
That isn't something to giggle about.
It was barely a tornado.
It's something
to giggle about, because it's just it's a tornado. It didn't hurt anybody. In fact,
it didn't hurt anybody. Do you know how much it's going to cost to repair that hotel? I'm pretty sure somebody's wallet hurts right now.
Yeah, but nobody went to the hospital. Nobody died. It's, you know,
they have act of God insurance.
Yeah,
you know, because that's considered an act of God. You know, a blizzard. You know, you could get a blizzard in February that could collapse the same roof of the same hotel.
Yeah, obviously.
If the snow's piled up. It's the same damage.
I'm not saying the apocalypse is happening tomorrow. I'm merely saying, and I'm not saying that this was like, oh my God, this tornado is so devastating. Oh my God. I'm simply saying that this is it's a sign of incremental change.
I think the issue that we have is that, and you may
everybody
agree.
Everybody jumps the gun, Derek. That's the issue.
But you may agree with me on this.
I'm not jumping the gun. It is a sign of incremental change.
Because I'm guessing by the sound of your voice, caller, I don't know your age, but I'm guessing that
he's 11.
You were educated around the same time that I was in the 70s, in the early 1980s, before they started drilling climate change is going to kill all of us into everybody's heads.
I did not say that.
Shay,
one of my workplaces was actually hit by a tornado. So and it went a mile and a half down the street and killed three people at a grocery store.
Yikes!
After hitting the building I was in.
And yikes. What year was that?
I know.
What year was that?
1993. December 1993 in Texas.
Wow.
Oh, that was in Texas, though.
Yeah, but they happen here too.
Not up here.
They've been happening here. But this is the thing. Her generation has been raised on this climate change,
change.
We're all going to die.
Do not turn this into a generational thing and act like I'm some kind of dummy.
I just wanted to say you obviously don't read the Farmer's Almanac because they also have snow in Montana in June.
Again.
You know, they indicate 6 inches of snow fell in some remote place in Montana in June. And 1930-something.
I was looking
I'm not saying that random acts of weather have not occurred in the past. If both of you freaking baby boomers, if you're going to call me a millennial, I'm going to call you a freaking baby boomer.
If both
of you baby boomers were listening to me, I would say, and I'm sorry, you would know that what I said was not that the world is going to end tomorrow. I'm not some 19-year-old dummy that's like, oh my God, that wave is big. There's going to be a tidal wave. There's going to be a tsunami.
Guilt by association.
I'm going to punch you in the face across the board. I'm merely saying that if you look at, yes, of course, random acts of God and random fluke weather things happen. But if you look at the pattern over the last 20 years compared to the 20 years before that, the 20 years before that, the 20 years before that,
how long have they keeping weather records?
Yeah, exactly.
They've been keeping weather records since the 19th century.
Keeping them for 150 years.
That's the 19th century. Museums, who's dumb now?
In certain museums, they have what's called fossils.
Oh my God, that was the most condescending thing that I've ever heard. What's called fossils?
All right, now be nice. Be nice.
Are you talking to me or him?
I'm a baby boomer. I'm not a baby boomer.
You're implying that I'm some dumb millennial, dude. Fire with fire.
I'm just saying that these sort of things, it could have been worse. You know, for everybody down there.
Absolutely.
I reiterate. I didn't say this was.
Absolutely.
They said Mark Wahlberg is probably casting himself as the Cape Tornado in the movie next year, which I thought was absolutely. I spit my coffee all over my speedometer and steering wheel when I heard that.
Peter Berg is writing the screenplay even as we speak. Thank you for your call.
Yes, thanks for taking it.
All right, have a good night.
I reiterate, thank you for your call and implying that I'm some dumb millennial. No, I reiterate, though, I did not say, oh my God, apocalypse now. I was merely saying that if you look, and by the way, who the hell that isn't a sailor or a meteorologist or a farmer reads the Farmer's Almanac on a regular basis? Well,
they put it in the newspaper every day.
Well, you're a giant nerd.
It's fascinating because they got all the weather and events that have had.
But suffice it to say, I've read it enough and done enough research on this subject because I've written multiple papers on this subject that I'm not saying that it's like, oh my God, the world's going to end tomorrow. I'm merely saying that if you look at weather patterns, if you look at the frequency of things like this occurring, even if it was a, I always forget the name of it, not a schedule one, but a, what's the word? Come on, Twister, have your lines come back to me. An EF1. Even if it was an EF1, and it was a high-end EF1, thank you.
No, it wasn't. It was.
Oh, I'm sorry. Do you know more than the National Weather Service, Derek? I'm pretty sure they went to college for meteorology.
It was a barely EF1.
It was a high-end EF1, according to NBC Boston, according to the Boston Globe, according to the Patriot Ledger. Thank you. But it's not a matter of, I'm not saying that the fact that tornadoes happened like this happened in the Cape earlier this week is doomsday. I'm merely saying that it is, again, a sign of incremental change. Hi, Joel.
I'm waving at the camera.
Oh, there's a camera now?
Yeah, the camera's been there forever.
Really?
Yeah, you didn't know about that?
God, I really should stop drinking fifths of Jameson on the air. Yes. I'm just kidding. FCC, I love you. But no, I'm merely saying that if you look at the patterns of the frequency of things like this happening as compared to, like I said, 20 years ago, 20 years before that, 20 years before that, it is...
about the same.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
I'm not going to gainsay you on this.
Just because I'm 40 years younger than you doesn't mean that I'm less smart.
But I look at what's happening in the weather now, and it's like, yep, I've seen this before. I've seen all of this before. There are 20-year cycles on things.
I'm not saying that you haven't seen it before. I'm saying that the frequency, the amount of times that you see this is not as... You know what? I'm going to go home and study like every farmer's almanac from the last 50 years. I'm going to come in next Wednesday, guns blazing.
You're going to come in next Wednesday and with your head down, and you're going to be like, okay, Derek was right again.
Yeah, and maybe your hair will grow back. Sorry, that was a low blow.
Yes, that was. What?
It's right there. I'm looking at your freckled head. It's the first thing that popped into my brain.
I don't...
You don't what? Speaking of weather?
I don't understand what's happening with...
There's no sun up in the sky.
Yeah.
Stormy weather. What? Sky. Stormy. Don't know why. She sings higher than I do. Sorry, folks.
There's no sun up in the sky. Stormy weather.
For the love of God, don't let me run a radio board. I'm just gonna say that right now. Just don't do it. Your Boston 5-day forecast is way better. Way, way, way better. A little humid out there today.
Yeah.
A little rain, a few clouds around. Temperatures going down to the mid-60s tonight. But then we got a nice summer stretch coming up tomorrow. Sunny skies. High in the mid-70s, low in the upper 60s. Friday, sunny skies, high in the low 80s. Low around 70 Friday night, but less humid than it's been. Saturday, mostly sunny, high in the low 80s. Low around 70 Saturday night. Sunday, mostly sunny, high in the mid-80s. Low in the mid-70s Sunday night. So we're going to get into this sort of typical warm late July, early August pattern. And we've really only got a couple of weeks left before things are going to start to, if it's a typical year, which it kind of has been, things are going to start to retreat back to autumn temperatures. So enjoy it while you can. It's going to be good beach weather. Really nothing major. Maybe Wednesday or Thursday of next week, we got some thunderstorms rolling through. But other than that, nice summertime weather. 855-915-9636 is the telephone number. It is WMFO Medford. Did you know that there are lyrics to the theme from A Summer Place, Shea Spillane?
Is that so?
Yeah. Everybody knows the Percy Faith version of this song,
mm-hmm.
Because it was a radio staple when the movie came out, and it was one of the hits of the summer that year. But the song actually has lyrics, and I have a very nice version of that here that I'm going to play for you. When we come back, Robert Mueller. Got his moment in front of Congress today.
He did indeed.
Was it worth paying attention to? Probably not. But we'll get into that in just a bit here on WMFO Medford.
Bells will be ringing and birds will be singing if you and your lover should ever discover that there's a summer place where it may rain. Secret of a summer place is that it's anywhere when two people share all their hopes. reach out to me, and my heart is free from all pain.
Ready for a change of pace in your diet? Well, think lamb. If you buy a whole leg of lamb, you can have part of it cut into sirloin, chops, and steaks, and you can serve the remainder as a roast. Be sure to look for the U.S. Department of Agriculture Grade Shield with the letters USDA and the word prime or choice. It's your sign of quality. For more information on lamb, write How to Buy Meat, Agriculture Radio, Washington, D.C., 20250.
A ranger station.
I'd like to report a bear hug.
Okay.
I put out my campfire and Smokey Bear hugged me.
So you drowned the fire, you stirred it, drowned it again, and felt that it was cold?
Uh-huh.
Yep, he's just letting you know you did good.
Bear hug from Smokey Bear. Status update.
I'm gonna let you go now.
There are many ways to start a fire, but one sure way to put it out. Learn how you can do your part at SmokeyBear.com.
Sponsored by the U.S. Forest Service Ad Council and your state forester.
MFO Medford, 91.5 FM. You are listening to The Big Picture. I am Shay Spillane. With me, as always, is my illustrious co-host, Derek Gary. We're going to be here with you till 9 o'clock. If you want to give us a call, we love hearing from you. You can do so at 855-915-WMFO. And that Mueller, he just won't get off our TV, will he?
One more local story before we get into the Robert Mueller thing.
Oh, because you tease.
I don't usually double or triple up on the local stories, but this one, oh,
I wonder,
man,
if it's the same one that I have open right now. It'd be funny if it was.
This is a big one. From CBS Boston. WBZ-TV has discovered troubling information about a recent fire escape collapse in the Fenway neighborhood.
What?
Two people were hurt when they fell to the ground. The owner has not filed a required safety inspection certificate since at least the late 1980s.
Jesus.
According to City of Boston records. Late 1980s, kids. That was when George Bush was the president of the United States. Not the one that was in the White House during 9/11. His father.
Oh my God, this is Phoebe's old building.
We asked a fire escape expert to take a look, and he said this could be just the tip of the iceberg. It was just before midnight on Sunday when some of the gratings on a fire escape on the back of 47 Hemingway Street gave way. Several people were on it. Two of them were hurt when they crashed to the ground. I see there's a missing bracket, a single bracket that used to be tied into the rail, and it gave way. I believe that's why pieces of the grating gave way, said Cisco Meneses, the founder of the National Fire Escape Association. We asked him to look at the aftermath of the collapse. You can see where the bracket he's talking about used to be, and you can see the spot on the wall where it once was attached. He blames rust caused by a lack of maintenance. Quote, the rust is what eats the steel, and I believe, based on what I can see right now, she's rotted right at the building, Meneses said. Why wasn't that caught? There is no evidence that the fire escape was inspected and safety certified. Quote, right now, a lot of these fire escapes, if they're not being properly inspected and repaired, what happens is we have collapses like this, Meneses said. Building owners in Boston are required to have their fire escapes certified every 5 years and file that certificate with the city. But when we searched the database for Boston Inspectional Services Department, we found no certificates on file since at least the late 1980s, a violation a building inspector has now cited the owner for. Well, good work, guys.
I'm not kidding. Those of our listeners who are regular listeners know Phoebe Angle has been on our show several times.
Yes.
That's Phoebe's old building.
Nice.
And she used to say, don't go on the fire escape. It looks like it's rotting.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
But that's not all we found. Just a short walk down the alleyway, Meneses points out another fire escape with holes in the brick where support brackets are anchored.
Oh, my God.
Quote, there's 3-4 supports not even tied into the building anymore, he said. So,
Jesus.
You will recall several motorcyclists died in Maine because the Registry of Motor Vehicles wasn't doing their job.
Yep.
Now we have people falling off of fire or falling through fire escapes because apparently inspectional services isn't doing their job.
We're in an age of people doing the bare minimum to collect a paycheck.
If you've gotten away without filing a fire escape safety certificate since the late 1980s, we're past the bare minimum.
Yeah.
Nobody's doing the job at all.
I was going to say, that's just straight up, we're collecting a paycheck for nothing.
And here's the problem with this. Obviously, if there's a fire and somebody needs to use these fire escapes, you're going to fall as soon as you jump out onto the fire escape. So, you know, hey, beats dying in a fire. I guess we can say that's a plus. But the other
side, do you want third degree burns or two broken legs?
But the other side of this, if you're walking down the street under one of these things and an anchor falls off or a grating falls off, you can get killed. There was a man killed in New York City earlier this year, and it happened while I was down there, actually, where a piece of a fire escape had fallen off a 5-story building and hit him and someone else in the head.
Jesus.
And he was killed by a brain injury from that piece of iron coming down and hitting him in the head. Well, again, I have to ask the question, what the hell is going on in this state?
Negligence.
I mean, this needs to be a big deal.
Yeah.
If you live or work in the city of Boston, you need to be asking your elected representatives, who, by the way, are going to be heading out into the communities because all the town days are coming up. And all of the local meet and greets. Hey, vote for me this fall. All that's coming up. They're going to be having their office hours. You need to ask them why. What's going on with the fire escapes? And even this is happening in Boston. I don't know what's going on in Somerville. I don't know what's going on in Medford. I don't know what's going on in any of these other towns. I can tell you that if it's happening in Boston, there's a pretty good chance that it's happening in your community as well.
Precisely. I mean, that's what I was going to say. Is you think about the fact that everyone listening right now is from the greater Boston area, I imagine. We do have some.
Yeah,
people that listen online, we love you. You're dope. But a good chunk of our listeners are from the greater Boston area. I mean, the Fenway area not only is one of the principal neighborhoods of Boston, of downtown Boston, it's also a huge tourist area.
Yeah.
So, like, typically, everything is very, like, we want things to be very shipshape in that area. So if this is falling by the wayside in an area like Fenway, Kenmore, wherever you want to define it as, because it's kind of between the two. Exactly. Like, think about if people are paying that little attention in such a high volume.